You're listening to Over the Night on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Matt Harrop.
Welcome back in. Matt Harrop here on SB Nation Radio. This is Over the Night. And now let's talk some baseball with David Adler, baseball writer for MLB.com, located in New York. David, I want to first start with this broken bat home run. I have never seen anything like it in terms of Bryce Harper off of a pretty good pitcher in Jake DeGrom. Have you ever seen that before, first of all? A broken bat home run. Bryce Harper is pretty darn strong.
I mean, I've never seen it happen in a game that I've been watching. I mean, I do know that Barry Bonds has done it. I've seen the highlight, but I mean, Bryce Harper is not the same big guy that Barry Bonds was. So this is one of the crazier baseball feats I've actually ever seen happen. As far as physically impressive feats go, I mean, I remember this and then Aaron Judge's 495-foot homer over the Yankee Stadium bleachers last year. I think in the past couple of years, those might be the most sheerly physically impressive things that I've seen.
Yeah, I mean,
Bryce hit it over 400 feet, 406 feet. Yeah. Broken bat.
It's crazy. And then he did a little flex for the dugout on his way back. I mean, yeah. He's pretty darn strong. All right, let's talk about Aaron Judge. Fastest to 60 home runs in Major League Baseball history. What stands out to you when you watch Aaron Judge? You're located in New York. I've seen him live a few times. And to me, honestly, it's just fun to go watch him in batting practice. And I think that, I think the Yankees maybe could make some money off of this. Like that they should start charging for batting practice to go see Stanton and Judge, because that in itself is a show. But what stands out to you when you watch Aaron Judge so early on in his career?
Well, first, it's funny that you mentioned the batting practice, because the Yankees did just start opening up their batting practice more this year so that fans could see Judge and Stanton, and it really is a show to watch.
Yeah.
But, I mean, as far as what stands out, I mean, there's two things. The first one's obviously just the sheer just physical strength, the sheer distance and velocity with which he can hit a baseball. That's just amazing. And like I said, his 495-foot homer, that's the most impressive thing I've ever seen happen on the baseball field. And I don't think I'll ever see anything like it again, except if he or Stanton hit another homer like that, which is also very possible. As far as the other thing that's really impressive about him, just as his skill as a hitter, is the way he kind of lets the ball get deep. He doesn't, ever jump at the ball or rush to hit it. You see, that he hits a lot of home runs to the opposite field, just because he's so strong that he can let the ball get in so far and then hit it out that way anyway. So it's kind of like Yankee Stadium is really, you think of it as a perfect place for a lefty pull hitter like Didi Gregorius, and you saw him hit a Yankee Stadium home run today.
Yeah.
But Judge, he can do that as a righty, which is really amazing.
It's really impressive. David Adler is our guest baseball writer for MLB.com, located in New York. David, the one weakness that I noticed last year and at the beginning, I haven't watched Yankees baseball really for the last week. I watched at the beginning of the year. But the one thing that jumped out to me in terms of a weakness for Aaron Judge was that slider on the low outside corner. Just the lower outside corner in general seems to get a lot of swings and misses from Aaron Judge. Have you seen an improvement from him this year in that sense, and do you see pitchers just knowing that that's where his weakness is, and that's kind of the game plan, is to throw it there?
Yeah, I mean, I think he seemed to get at least a little better at it toward the very end of the postseason last year. You saw him at the beginning of the playoffs, he was striking out on those pitches every time, and you know that pitch is an obvious weakness for him because he's a big guy. The low outside breaking ball is just a general weakness for a right-handed hitter anyway, and especially so maybe for a guy his size who has a hard time going down to get that ball out there. I mean, but he's shown an ability to adjust, and the real thing is that he can take it for a ball if it's not on the plate. That's the main thing, is that he's really willing to take his pitches. He goes to a lot of 3-2 counts. He sees just a lot of pitches in general. He takes a lot of pitches in general, and then he can jump on the ones that are in his hot zone. So, I'm not sure that that's a huge glaring. I mean, that might still be the way to attack him, and you see pitchers attacking him that way a lot, and you're probably just going to continue to see that. But I don't think it's as sharp of a weakness as it was last year, especially when he may have had a hurt shoulder from running into the wall too much.
David, you're in New York. The Mets, they lose tonight to the Washington Nationals 8-6. Nationals, a big win for them, comeback fashion, especially after the Mets sweep them in their opening series. But you're in New York. I'm from that part of the country. I'm just curious, what has the response been in New York to what the Mets are doing so far this year? Is the Met fan, like, casually waiting for this all to collapse, or are they just overjoyed with happiness at this point? Like, take us inside the mind of a Met fan right now in New York after this hot start.
Well, I think the Mets fans are just kind of trying to ride the wave for as long as it goes. I think for a Mets fan, there's always that doubt in the back of their minds, or maybe even in the front of their minds for a long-suffering Mets fan. But, you know, like, I mean, their teams look great. I mean, it is a team that, you know, with the general roster makeup is similar to the ones that have gone to the playoffs in the World Series in two of the last 3 years. So, I mean, I think there's some, you know, very cautious optimism among the Mets fans, especially when they see guys like Noah Syndergaard and Jacob DeGrom and Yoan Cespedes and Michael Conforto all healthy and playing well. But there's definitely always the fear that they get injured again, and I've definitely gotten that sense that there's kind of a constant, you know, nagging fear that the Mets roster is not going to hold up healthy the whole year.
Oh, yeah, and it's just the Met way to just have paranoia in the front of your brain always. Right. David Adler is our guest, baseball writer for MajorLeagueBaseball.com, located in New York. All right, let's stay in the National League. The other surprising team, really surprising team from a positive perspective in that league, is the Pittsburgh Pirates. I mean, you lose Andrew McCutchen. This is a team that many people were talking about tanking this year. Well, they're 11-5 to start. How are they doing it without Andrew McCutchen?
Well, I mean, it's they do have some, you know, other talented players. Like some of these guys, you know, had, like, you know, Gregory Polanco has, like, all the talent in the world. He's been great at points and also, like, not great at other points. I mean, Corey Dickerson, he's a player who also can have, like, a lot of hot streaks. Starling Marte, another guy who's kind of been, like, a very good player for them a lot of times. Like, all these guys have talent. I mean, Andrew McCutchen is obviously a big loss to them, and I would say it's probably going to be hard for them to sustain that success in that division. The Cubs look very strong. I mean, the Brewers, once they get a little healthier, they're going to be very strong. It's going to be tough for the Pirates to come out and win that division, but they do have, like, the talented kind of up-and-coming type of players. So it wouldn't surprise me if they, stay in contention for a while.
And they do lose to the Colorado Rockies tonight. The Rockies, part of a very surprising division in the National League West. I mean, I guess nothing is really surprising at this point. We're only 15 games into the season. But the one glaring thing that stands out is the Dodgers are 5-9, and the Padres are 7-10. I don't think anybody would have predicted that. What is going on in Los Angeles? Why the slow start?
Yeah, you know, it's kind of hard to put your finger on it when you look at how just, like, incredibly talented that team is. I mean, you saw, obviously, Kenley Jansen had some major issues with both his command and velocity in his first couple of games, and, you know, that cost them. I mean, it looked like he might have been struggling with his mechanics. I read a really nice story on The Athletic that broke down his landing foot positioning and how it was very inconsistent and how that might have contributed to his struggles. I mean, you see Clayton Kershaw's velocity has dropped too. That's an interesting question. Of course, Clayton Kershaw has pitched extremely well in every single game despite his low fastball velocity. And the interesting way he's done that is by using his other pitches a lot more. I think he's throwing his fastball at a career low rate. He got 10 strikeouts on his slider in his last game, which tied his own career high for a slider. I mean, the Dodgers aren't going to stay this struggling like this for a very long.
Right,
they just,
right.
They're just too good. I mean, Cody Bellinger still looks like he's an incredible talent. Corey Seager, probably perennial all-star. I mean, they've just got too loaded of a roster. But the D-backs and the Rockies are both very good, too. So it's going to be a tough division again.
David Adler is our guest, baseball writer for MajorLeagueBaseball.com, located in New York. David, the beginning of a Major League Baseball season is always about overreactions. I mean, I do a show every day, so I have to overreact. And one of the things I think that I've overreacted to is the other Los Angeles team, the Angels. They're 13-3. Now, Shohei Ohtani has just been fantastic, but they now lead that division by 3 games. The Astros hitting, they just can't. I mean, we're located here in Houston. I don't know what is going on in terms of their lineup, but do you think the Angels can sustain this? And the interesting story to me last week was Ohtani wanting more playing time. Do you see that happening ultimately sooner rather than later? What do you think is going to be the long-term plan with Ohtani? And do the Angels stick around the first place hunt in that AL West the whole season?
Well, I think they definitely can stick around. In fact, I picked them to make one of the wild cards in our preseason predictions. I still think the Astros will win the division. They're just simply a better team. But, and I mean, then you've seen all the talent from the Astros, and Garrett Cole's looked great, Verlander's looked great. But the Angels, they look like they could be a playoff team too, that's for sure. I mean, Trout looks like an MVP as usual. And I don't think there is any overreaction possible for Shohei Ohtani because he's lived up to all the hype and more. Like, he's just been extremely talented in every facet of the game. So, sure, he could definitely get more playing time sooner rather than later because, I mean, he's looked great. I mean, he's just hit too much for them to not, you know, let him continue to hit. I mean, a lot of the work that I do is with our StatCast tracking system that, you know, that tracks everything, mm-hmm. exit velocity, the speed of the hits, the speed of the pitches, the spin on the ball, the player movements and speed. And basically what that has shown us is that Shohei Ohtani has all the elite tools that you could want out of a major leaguer. He has the Angels' hardest home run this season. He hits the ball hard at a higher rate than almost any other hitter in the league in his limited at-bat. As a pitcher, he's averaging the third highest fastball velocity of any starter. He has the highest whiff rate of any starter. Hitters are missing on more than 40% of their swings against him, and on his splitter specifically, more than 70% of those swings. So, I mean, he's just – and on the bases, he's been incredibly fast.
Yes.
We've tracked some of his speeds, and they've – so we basically have the sprint speed that tracks the player's max speed around the bases, and he's been right up in the top tier, possibly even having elite speed or at least flashing it at times. So, I mean, he's an amazingly talented player, and if he can keep up his like actual results, his success, then the Angels are going to be a very dangerous team, especially with Garrett Richards also pitching very well.
Absolutely. David, okay, this is interesting to me because I'm reading on your Twitter you do StatCast work, and I'm curious. Okay, so can you compare Ohtani to anybody as a rookie who went on to have a really good career as a pitcher and a hitter? Is there anybody that sticks out to you from a pitching standpoint and from a hitting standpoint that you can compare Ohtani to? Because he is a rare talent, obviously, in the fact that he can do both.
Well, I'm as far as his skill set goes, it's kind of tough to find a comparison for him hitting-wise at this time because he's had just such a small handful of at-bats, and the way he has that kind of specifically Japanese style of hitting, like
right.
How his swing looks. So that, as far as, you know, rookies go, it's kind of hard to find a comparison to him as far as their swing. But I can give you a nice comparison as far as the big adjustment that he's made with his swing was in spring training when he was struggling, striking out a lot, he had this big leg kick when the pitch was coming in, very long swing. And then at the end of spring training, he cut that out, and he stopped his big stride. He just did a little toe raise, and that's what he's doing now, and that's how he's been hitting so well. And a hitter who did that last year to a lot of great success is Bryce Harper. Mm-hmm. And Bryce Harper has always had the very big leg kick, and he's been obviously an MVP with that same swing. But last year he started experimenting, and he started mixing in this little toe tap, and he also hits a lot of homers that way. And Shohei Ohtani's made a very parallel adjustment to that. So he has that very specific similarity to Bryce Harper as a hitter, although their swings and talent are probably different. Bryce Harper is simply a better hitter at this point. Pitching-wise, I mean, you can compare him to, I mean, for the fastball, someone, a hard thrower. I mean, he doesn't have the max velocity like Noah Syndergaard, but he has the, like a Luis Severino type fastball-wise, but he doesn't have the same his slider's not really like Luis Severino's, and Luis Severino had a more up-and-down start to his career. But, I mean, the splitter, you could compare it even to, like, Masahiro Tanaka. The splitter's a huge out-pitch.
That is amazing to me. I mean, I know that he's no Bryce Harper, but the fact that you compared him to I'm glad I asked that question, to Bryce Harper, at least from a looks point of view from hitting, and Severino and Tanaka from a pitching I mean, we have never seen anything like this in baseball before, right?
It's very possible. I mean, he's doing things at the plate that no other pitcher can do, and he's doing things as a pitcher that, of course, hitters can't do. So he really, really is giving the Angels the best of both worlds right now. I mean, he almost threw a perfect game the other day. What more could you want?
It's incredible. All right, David, I wish I had more time, but I don't. We'll have to have you on another day. David Adler with us, baseball writer for MLB.com, located in New York. You can follow David on Twitter and do it because he's got some amazing – I love this analytics stuff. You always tweet interesting analytics stuff, and you can go follow David on Twitter @_DAdler to find all of that information. Baseball writer for MLB.com. Thank you very much for the time, David. Appreciate it.
No, thank you for having me. I had a great time too. Thanks.
All right, we're back after this on SB Nation Radio.